away we go on a Friday. No Joshy DiMaggio today. I'm Alex Stroff with you from the Gruber Law Offices, One Call, That's All Studio. At the Avenue of Beautiful Downtown Milwaukee, Will Summers is here. We'll see how that goes. He's got some Friday energy today. We've got a company call going on, a company-wide call that we do with our my co-host on Sundays, Craig Karmazin, of course, our CEO here at Good Karma Brands. He does a monthly call with the team. And I walked into the control room, you know, as the call's going on to get set up for the show. And Will is staring at a computer screen just clapping, right? People doing good things across our company. And Will, being the team player, he is just clapping at a computer screen in a room by himself, which was an entertaining visual. Good afternoon, Will. How you doing?
Good afternoon. I'm just bringing the positive energy to my teammates.
Yeah.
Congratulating them on their good work, all their hard work.
Yeah.
Happy to see it. Yeah, good way to start a Friday.
Yeah, it is a good way to start a Friday. You're absolutely right about that. You dork. Hunter Vaughn, Tiny Hands, back at the Everlight Solar Studio in downtown Madison. What's up, Hunter? How are you?
I'm doing great.
Great.
I'm still fired up about something that happened to me last night, and I feel like I just need to share it with you, if that's okay.
Yeah, go for it, man.
So last night, I'm working late here at the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studio because I'm a grinder.
All right.
I was like, you know what? I'm really hungry. When I left, didn't have any food at home because my wife's gone for the week. So, of course, like, I have no food in the house.
Sure.
So I stop at McDonald's. Now, I love the Shamrock Shake at McDonald's. So,
Yeah.
But I didn't see it on the menu. So I'm like, okay, fine. You know what? I'll do a strawberry shake and fries. Medium fries, medium strawberry shake. So that's what I say, and it shows up on the screen as that. I pull around to the window then, and lo and behold, a Shamrock Shake comes out the window. Didn't order it, but they
got your order wrong, and you're excited about it?
Yes, because I got my favorite thing.
Okay, so hold on a minute. Why didn't you ask if they still had Shamrock Shakes?
Because I just assumed it's April and they wouldn't have the Shamrock Shake, which is a March thing. So, like, I just assumed they wouldn't have it. So I was like, I'm not even going to bother. I'll just do a strawberry.
Do you think they knew they got your order wrong? Did they do it on purpose, maybe?
Here's the thing. Maybe, because then it got even better when I got home and I opened up the bag. The receipt said medium fry. They gave me a large fry. So I got my favorite item plus a larger size fry, and I didn't have to pay for it.
Do you dip fries in your Shamrock Shake?
Sometimes. Not with the McDonald's ones, though, because they're smaller. They're a little more flimsy.
Sure.
So, yeah. Like a place like Wendy's, those are bigger. They're kind of thick. So then those, you can dip it in the Frosty a little
bit better.
I don't
like how you said that word at all. It made me uncomfortable.
There's way too much emphasis on the end part.
I didn't like that.
Thick.
Okay. Well, good for you. Yeah, I'm happy. I don't really know what to say here. I'm happy for you, I guess.
I'm pumped about it. Like,
I mean, I can tell. Yeah.
I think this is because I'm a bigger guy. Like, you're too skinny. You don't understand, like, how great it is to get the extra fries like that.
I feel like I can relate to that part. I guess it's more the ordering the shake and not getting what I ordered part I don't understand. But whatever makes it happy, I guess.
Yeah. I'm pumped about it.
All right. Let's get to this. We are a couple weeks away. I can't believe it's already April, man. And by the way, personally, April's going to be one heck of a month. I'm moving. We've got the NFL draft coming up. And next week, finally, we're going to be able to share some details for you what Mr. Irrelevant Draft Week is going to look like. It's going to be sweet. Will, you're going to be involved. Hunter, you're going to be involved. Joshy's going to be involved. Well, we're going to have a heck of a week up in Green Bay coming up in just a few weeks. But I'm moving the week before that. I get my keys April 15th. And then in Green Bay that whole week. And then I'm standing up in a wedding that Sunday. So, I mean, it's going to be a week or a month rather. And it's going to fly by, but we're going to have a week or a month. So here we go. And the NFL draft just a few weeks away up in Green Bay. I'm at the point though, in my draft prep, right? Like I've mentioned before, I like the draft. I just don't fully immerse myself in the draft until like this week was really the first week I started reading up on stuff and, you know, starting to learn the names of some of the prospects, starting to take a look at some of the positional needs for Green Bay and some of the guys maybe to keep an eye on that they could use some higher picks on, like their first, second, third round picks. And I said a couple weeks ago on this show, I have convinced myself I think the Packers are going to go offensive line in the first round. I just think it's not going to be sexy again. It's going to be nothing to write home about. But I think if it's not offensive line, it's going to be defensive line. I think this will be a first-round pick. If they do select in the first round, which we'll get to in a second, that will be in the trenches, which is fine. You know, it's not sexy. It's not a receiver, which I think a lot of fans want. And we're going to talk about the receiver position because I do think the Packers will address it. I just think it will be later than the first round. I'm at the point now, though, where like you're looking at some of the top prospects. You're looking at some of the, you're looking at some of the guys that could be available at 23. And now I'm also looking at guys that are going to go top 5 or top 10. And I go, ooh, baby, get me up in there. All right, let's move up, shall we? So today I don't want to be rational. It's Friday. We got some goofy energy going on. I know Will's got really goofy energy going on. Hunter's talking about fat guy wins, I believe is what he called it.
Yeah.
It's a Friday. I don't want to be rational today. I have no need for rationality. Josh is gone.
I have no rationale is how you'd use it in a sentence, I think. I don't know. You can't refer to me on words. I rank bottom on the dictionary.
You asked me what budget meant 5 minutes ago.
Well, I know what budget means, but just in the way that it's used in a certain instance. And I also thought that was in confidence. I didn't know you were going to tell people that.
Nothing you tell Strofe is actually in confidence.
That's not true. If you preface the conversation with between me and you, I will never bring it on the air.
Yeah, I didn't do that.
You didn't do that. You said, man, I got a dumb brain question for you. And what did I say, Will, when you asked me that question? I said, at least you came to a fellow idiot.
Yeah.
Right? Like, yeah. I can acknowledge that, too. So anyway, I don't want to be rational today. I want to be irrational. I want to talk about nonsense. I want to talk about things that aren't going to happen because that's just the brain I've got today. And I want to hear from you because I know a ton of you that watch on YouTube, ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Madison, YouTube, have been longing for draft conversation, have been looking at the draft videos, have been immersing yourself in draft prep, if you will, right? Getting yourself ready for the NFL draft coming up in a couple weeks. Is there like a highly touted prospect you'd like to see the Packers move up for? What triggers this conversation for me is we had a call into Kyle Bruston Nortman yesterday, KBN 2-5 on ESPN Wisconsin. And the caller said, yeah, if Goody really wants to make a mark, if Goody really wants to make an impact, he's going to trade up for Travis Hunter of Colorado, right? Knocks out both of your needs. He's a wide receiver and he's a cornerback. Now, odds are Hunter will focus on one or the other in the National Football League. I would imagine he's not going to go full-time both ways like he did at Colorado. But it is an interesting thought. And I saw, you know, our friends at Jim, Matt, Molly, 4-6 on ESPN Madison, talking about Travis Hunter last week. Like, it is a fun idea. Obviously, it's not going to happen, right? The Packers are not going to trade up for Travis Hunter, who's probably a top 3, top 4 pick in this year's NFL draft at worst. Might even go number 2 overall, number 3 overall. It's not going to happen. But the idea of it is really interesting. You know, does that really make Packers fans happy, right? You have a need at receiver. You have a need at corner. It's a guy who can do both at a pretty high level. Obviously, the reigning Heisman Trophy winner. It's a fun idea.
Hypothetical for you.
I love hypotheticals. Hit me.
Because now I've started looking at like mock drafts and that. Let's say somebody like Abdul Carter, the edge rusher from Penn State.
Yeah.
Who, because he wore the same number at the same school as Micah Parsons, is being compared to him.
Yep.
Say he slips down to like 5. Would you want Goody to somehow send a couple of first round picks to Jacksonville to go and get Abdul Carter at 5?
Look, again, that's another name, right? I'm glad you bring that name up, where it's never going to happen. But yeah, I'd love that. Although I don't want to give up multiple first-round picks. But, I mean, the case you can make for Goody is his first-round picks haven't been slam dunks recently, right? Jair Alexander, Jordan Love, to a point Rashawn Gary. It's about it for home runs on first-round picks.
So if the Packers were to take, hypothetically, Travis Hunter, and he could only play one side of the ball for the Packers, which one would you pick? Because I think long-term, he projects more as a cornerback.
Yep.
But depending on the team that he gets picked by, like if he was selected to the Browns, I'm sure they would value him more as a wide receiver, the right. Patriots.
It's going to be fit, right? I think if he's a Packer, he's a corner. To answer your question, you're right. I think long term he's probably better there.
I don't think he is.
What makes me say that is the size, but I think people also said that about Devontae Smith when he came in the league, that he was too small, too skinny.
Yep.
He's just proved everybody wrong.
He sure has.
So there's definitely the possibility that long term he could play out, but I see him with the guys that are good in the league at corner. I think he possesses like the elite traits and the elite skills, and he's at a good size where he can really be an MVP, a defensive player of the year.
Yeah, I'm with you. It sounds like Hunter's ready to make the case for the other side, which is debatably, guys, right? Like, he's got to be one of the more fascinating draft prospects in a long time just because of this two-position thing with Travis Hunter. Hunter, go ahead.
Yeah, I see him as being a wide receiver because of his ball skill. Like, the number of times that he was able to make plays on passes where you're like, a college receiver shouldn't be doing that. Right. And if he is putting all of his time into that, I see him as being the type of guy that if he's putting all of his time at wide receiver, could be just an absolute game changer for an offense.
Yeah, I agree. So we'll see. But I'm curious from you on the YouTube chat. ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Madison on YouTube. As Chef Ed chimes in, I have socks older than Will. How old are you?
22.
I don't have socks older than you.
What sock could last without getting a bunch of holes in it? Does that mean Chef Ed's just wearing
holy socks?
Yeah, which is wildly uncomfortable to me. I can never do that. Second, there's a decently sized hole in my socks. They're gone.
What's worse, hole in the sock or wet socks?
Wet Ooh. Socks.
That's close, actually. I hate the feeling of my bare foot on the bottom of my shoe, but wet sock, I'd say.
The sentence, the moment there's a sizable hole in my sock, it's gone, it's a good sentence.
Yeah, I mean, it's just super uncomfortable, like when your toes are sticking out. Just saying.
But
it's relatable.
Least, yeah, and I guess, like, wet sock, like, it's going to dry eventually, so, like, that problem goes away over time. Like, that's a short-term problem, but it's an awful short-term problem.
Woo! You guys are idiots.
Thank you.
How do we get here? Oh, Chef Ed. Yes. Yeah, so Tet McMillan, who's the receiver out of Arizona. Is it Arizona?
Yeah.
I always want to say Arizona State when I'm talking about the Wildcats. I do it with basketball, too. I don't know why. Blue and red. Arizona. Wildcats. Tet McMillan. Brian Gutekunst was the only GM at his pro day, which is fascinating. But he is viewed as the top receiver in this draft. Now, this is a receiver-heavy draft, right? It's expected probably 4 to 6 will go in the first round. Tet McMillan looked at probably as wide receiver one, if you don't count Travis Hunter, in this year's draft. Like, that's a guy that's probably going to go top 10. But he's got speed. He's got size. He's a fascinating pass catcher. That would be a guy I'd love to see Brian Gutekunst make a move for. Can I guarantee he's going to? Of course not. Do I expect him to? No. I think if Brian Gutekunst is the move in the first round, it's going to be backwards, not forwards. But Tet McMillan, hello. I think that's where, you know, and the good news with the Packers where they stand right now, if they are to take a high-round wide receiver, I'm looking specifically round one or two, the way their team is set up right now is not the way it was set up for Aaron Rodgers. Right? I had the debate yesterday of, if they draft a receiver in the first round, right, Jalen Reagor, for example, because I know he went around the pick where Jordan Love went. If they draft a receiver in the first round in 2020, I don't think that receiver set up to succeed right away in an Aaron Rodgers-led offense. I just don't. Whereas in this offense, if you spend draft capital in the first or second round on a wide receiver, that is a receiver that's set up for success right away. Because you're in a young offense, you're with a bunch of up-and-comers, there is a necessity at receiver, and Jordan Love is not Aaron Rodgers. He is going to rely on young guys. He is going to rely on young receivers because he has to. Rodgers didn't have to, and he really didn't want to. He didn't trust young receivers because there's so many rookie mistakes that come along with that. Now, Tet McMillan would be the guy for me. I go, whew, hello. Now, I sit at the top. I've talked myself into offensive line, defensive line in the first round. I think it's going to be in the trenches. But there is a part of me all of a sudden that's going, maybe this is the year. Maybe this is finally the year. For the first time since 2002 when the Packers drafted Javon Walker, that the Packers go receiver in the first round. It's receiver heavy. There is a need. I don't know, man. I'm not predicting it. I'm sticking with my offensive line prediction, but there's a part of me going, maybe this is the year. Now, what's the saying that George Bush said, right? The old saying in Tennessee, knows it's in Texas. Fool me one time, shame on you. Fool me, can't get fooled again. I believe that's what George Bush said, the former United States president.
Something like that.
I think that was verbatim what he said,
actually.
It's in
the J. Cole song.
J. Cole song, yeah. That's why I know it. I've been fooled like 8 times by this. I've talked myself into, all right, this is the year. This is the year the Packers finally pick a wide receiver. I've fooled myself too many times to fall into the trap again. But I'm starting to think, maybe, just maybe, this could be the year with how receiver heavy this year is. And the need is clearly there, right? Watson's out for, if not all of the season, a majority of it. Could be the year.
It's also the year that you're hosting the draft.
It's also the year the draft
adds another wrinkle into it.
Is that a wrinkle?
I don't know. Do they want to make a move for the hometown? Get people excited?
People would get excited.
You think anybody would forget a Green Bay draft in Green Bay
where
they traded up to 12 or 10 and took a wide receiver who ended up being a star?
Nobody would ever forget
that.
That's
job security for life.
Here's the thing, brother. If they draft a receiver in the first round at 23, nobody's going to forget it.
It's true.
Because that's, I mean, the last time it happened, 2002. Will, were you born in 2002?
I would have not been born yet since the draft is in the spring.
You were born in 02?
Yeah. My birthday is in December, though, so I would not have been born yet. Not to make you guys feel old or anything.
Yeah, it makes me feel... I mean, I'm not that much older than you, but I'm older than you. I'm a 90s baby.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Hunter, you feel ancient right now, don't you?
Yeah, I wish we would move on to a different subject. Like, I was 10, guys. Like, I remember that.
I was 3, almost 4, when Javon Walker was drafted. I had a Javon Walker. Oh, I inherited it. It wasn't mine. But I had a Javon Walker jersey growing up. Fun fact for you. I'd get an Amika Igbuka jersey. I'd get a Tet McMillan jersey.
I think the problem with them making that move, or even just if they're at 23 and they don't move up, is that some of these other teams, I think, might just empty out the first round receivers. So then you just run into the issue for Goody where it's like, he can't really take a receiver because he's going to reach on a guy that's really a second rounder, and then he's going to be left in just a spot where he just can't do it. And then he'll have the excuse of, well, the board didn't shake out that way because, you know, you can't manipulate the board and try and put yourself in a better position as a GM. But, you know, that's my concern for you.
It's a fair concern.
Packer fans.
It's a fair concern. And I know your boy Jerry, and we talked about it a little bit Wednesday. Hunter's a Cowboys fan, for those that aren't aware. You know, they're looking at a receiver, right? I know a lot of teams have that need and view it as a need, right? Because you look, I mean, it seems like every year, right, you try to duplicate what the Super Bowl champion did. The Eagles won the Super Bowl for a lot of reasons. Maybe the biggest was their pass rush, right? So stock up on defensive linemen. Second is their stability at offensive linemen. Great running game and stud receivers all over the field, right? Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown primarily, but they have two really top, like, good receivers, top 20 receivers in the league. That's what teams are trying to emulate now. That's just naturally what happens in the National Football League. You copy what works. And I don't know if the Packers are necessarily copying what the Eagles are doing or did, but it's interesting when you think about receiver. I'm just saying, a lot of teams are going to go receiver. The Packers could be one of them. I'm starting to think maybe. All right, let's get to this. Trey Hendrickson of the Cincinnati Bengals appeared on the Pat McAfee Show Wednesday. It was during our show on Wednesday. And essentially said, yeah, not happy with the Bengals right now. They're not communicating with my staff, his agent. They're saying I should be happy at a price point. I'm clearly not happy yet. That's why I haven't signed on the dotted line at this point. It was a leverage play for Trey Hendrickson and his agent. They said, go make a media appearance and talk about that you're not thrilled. It's a leverage play, right? Try to get a couple more bucks your way from Cincinnati. That is the main objective of doing a show like the Pat McAfee Show and saying the things he did. But the other objective is, worst case, stir up some interest, right? Get some teams to think about it. The unfortunate thing, B-I-T-H, right? Bith, we coined it. You're Bith, Will. Bring in Trey Hendrickson. The thing about that is, it's not a real thing for Green Bay. It's just not Goody's MO. It's just not what he does. He doesn't make big splash trades like that. That's why Max Crosby and Myles Garrett and Cooper Kupp and Deebo Samuel weren't on the table, amongst other reasons. Trey Hendrickson is 31 years old. What about that screams Goody to you? Nothing, right? It just doesn't. It's unfortunate because I think he would make a real impact. He would elevate this defensive line that needs it. But as we discussed Wednesday, I think the Packers view the defensive line thing and the pass rush thing as a coaching issue, not a personnel issue. Sorry, somebody just hit the window to my left and I got distracted. So apologies, my audio dipped there for a moment. Had to look. I don't know that I agree with the fact it was a coaching issue. But they bring in Robert Covington now, the new defensive line, DeMarcus Covington, the new defensive line coach. And they just think he's going to fix it. Going to be able to bring more pressure. It's year two in the new defense. Maybe you're a little bit more comfortable in the defense. It's just going to work in your favor. It's not how I'm feeling. I don't know if everybody agrees with the Packers on that or disagrees with the Packers. I just don't view that as the fix, the Band-Aid, if you will. We'll see. Trey Hendrickson, not a realistic option for the Packers. It's just not, unfortunately.
It really is a weird move by the Bengals to not sign him or extend him because, I mean, basically they're planning right now on just trying to score 80 points a game.
Yep.
And maybe depend on your defense to get one stop a game.
Their defense stinks.
It's horrible. It's the worst in the league.
Despite having a guy 2 years in a row that had 17 and a half sacks. He led the league in sacks last year.
Yeah.
And the Bengals defense was one of, if not the worst in the league. Had to be bottom five.
Yeah.
Easily. In terms of points allowed. And they were in a shootout every week, it seemed. It is a strange move.
Yeah. You think you'd want to take a little bit of pressure off of that offense you just spent a bunch
running
of
out
money
of,
on.
They're running out of money.
Yeah,
is,
they are.
Is the issue.
I don't know how much they have left. They can even pay Trey Hendrickson, but
they've given him a decent offer, it sounds like, but he's not looking for a decent offer.
No.
He's looking for...
He deserves more than a decent
right.
offer.
And we ran through it a little bit Wednesday, just in terms of where Rashawn Gary is. I think he's like ninth most or eighth most of edge rushers. Trey Hendrickson is beneath him. Trey Hendrickson definitely deserves more money than Rashawn Gary. I don't think anybody's going to disagree with that. So we'll see. I still think he winds up in Cincinnati, they get this thing figured out. It just might drag on. Brad Waukesha, you should trade Gary and Alexander straight up for Hendrickson. It clears the cap space to pay him and removes the Alexander distraction and the underperforming Gary. Both to the AFC as well. It's an interesting thought, Brad. I don't know if the Bengals are interested in that, though. If Jair Alexander will be traded, which I don't think he will, I think he'll ultimately be released. Nobody's going to want to take on that contract. Right? Jair's making a lot of money for a guy that's not on the field that often, and he can't count to be on the field. When he's on the field, he's been good both of the last 2 years when he's been on the field. But the key word there is when, and it hasn't been often. I'd sign up for that trade right now, Rashawn Gary and Jair Alexander for Trey Hendrickson. I'd sign up for it. It's just it won't happen, unfortunately. Okay, let's do something a little bit different. Hunter hates when I call myself Mr. NBA.
Yep.
NBA guy. I've got all the knowledge. I've got all the answers. So Hunter, on our show prep call, said, Strofe, you got to play the Immaculate Grid on the show today. And for those of you that aren't aware what an Immaculate Grid is, it is essentially a 9-square grid. And then each of the lines has a logo or a stat or something, and you try to fill it in with 9 players and 9 guesses. So the squares today, on the top, it is Hawks, Bucks, and 5,000-plus career assists. And then down the side, I believe that would be the Y-axis of the grid. I was right on that.
You
good
are.
Yeah, I was right.
Good
way
for
to
me.
Go.
Yeah. I knew I said that right, and I was like, wait a minute. People are going to be stunned that I knew that. The Jazz, the Kings, and the Rockets. So, like, for example, if you're listening, top left square is Hawks Jazz. Middle top square, Bucks Jazz. Top right square, 5,000 assists in their career. And Jazz. Oh, boy. My computer's at 10%, Hunter. Let's hope we can get through this. Forgot my charger.
Goodness. Will, do you have a charger for him?
I do, but I don't know if he deserves it.
I don't know if I do either. Let's try to cruise through this. All right, Bucks and Jazz. We're going to skip that. Bucks and Kings, Dante DiVincenzo, final answer. How do you spell that? There it is. 29%, not bad. Not bad.
Solid first one.
All right, Bucks-Rockets. I have a thought here, but I don't know if it counts.
There's a layup.
Sam Decker was a Buck for about a minute. But he never played in a Bucks jersey. Does that count?
I don't think it will.
Okay, that's good to know. You said I have a layup here?
Yes.
Oh, boy. A layup. Now I'm overthinking it.
Yeah, you are.
I believe that. Bogdanovich played for the Hawks and the Jazz, right? And which one is the question? Oh, nope, I'm wrong on that. Bogdan. Oh, neither of them. I got two wrong guesses on that square.
There's also there's an easy one for Bucks Jazz. And I think Kings 5,000 assist, too.
All right, should I just pull the plug here, call myself a fraud?
Yeah, I'm trying to do it, too, and I think I'm doing a little bit better than you.
I'm overthinking it because the pressure's on here.
Yeah, you are.
I've got Dante DiVincenzo. That's it.
Do you want answers?
I don't want answers. I want hints.
Okay. Jazz Bucks played in Milwaukee in college.
Played in Milwaukee? Oh, Jay Crowder, maybe? That'll do, right? There we go. There's Jay Crowder. Is that who you were thinking of as well?
Yes.
Okay. Bucks Rockets. I want to do Sam Decker, but you said that won't work?
I don't think it will unless he played actual minutes in a regular season or playoff game.
He didn't.
Are we doing this together? Because I got one.
All right, hit me.
PJ Tucker?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that one's easy.
Yeah, that was the layup.
Yeah, that one's easy. Good call.
And the Kings 5,000 assist is a Bucks legend. Has his number retired. Like one of the all-time greats.
It's not Scott Skiles, is it? I know he's got like 30 assists in a game, but I don't think he ever played for the Jazz.
I mean,
or excuse me, the Kings.
I wanted maybe, to guess I don't know.
Jason Williams, but I don't think he had 5,000 assists.
Did he play it? Yeah, I don't know that he does either. Played for the Bucks and the Kings and has 5,000 assists.
Yes.
Is he old? Is he
older old, than- old.
Okay, you're going to have to tell me.
Oscar Robertson.
Oh, sure. Sure. Okay. Good stuff. I'm giving up. 620 for a rarity score. That can't be good.
It's not.
So now you're no longer the NBA guy. You're just the guy.
Yeah.
I am the guy.
Oh, my goodness. What did we do to the screen?
Immaculate. Will, you said before the show you have a question for me.
Yeah. Can I be the baseball guy on Mr. Irrelevant? The MLB guy? The correspondent? The Mr. Irrelevant MLB reporter.
Before I answer this, okay, number one, no. Not a reporter. You can be the guy. Okay, a couple of questions. What are your credentials?
Played NCAA baseball.
For who?
Concordia University, Wisconsin.
How many years?
2 years.
And you were what position?
Catcher. 20 games, batted 200, career.
Oh, really? Mendoza line.
Defensive specialist.
That's probably not a good thing.
Some people take pride in being a defensive specialist.
It sounds like you
Jason
are one
Veritek,
of those people.
You ever heard of him?
I have, yeah.
Little League World Series, College World Series, Major League World Series. Won all of them.
They also wouldn't give Winner. A golden glove to players if defense didn't matter.
Right.
I didn't say it didn't matter. I never said that.
You were downplaying it. You were poo-pooing it.
Well, hold on. There's a little bit difference between Jason Veritek and Division III Will Summers.
You don't know that.
Bear with me for a moment.
We both have large hearts.
Okay, hold on. Slow down. So, your credentials are you played collegiate baseball.
Yes.
Who is your favorite team in the MLB?
I'm a White Sox fan.
Okay, good stuff.
Okay.
Not a bad start for them this year.
It's been fun. Will Venable is the new manager. Changing up the culture a little bit.
What are your thoughts on the Milwaukee Brewers?
They're going to be fine. Nestor Cortez figured it out last night. I love how they're playing a lot of small ball, too. They're bunting the ball. They're getting a lot of bloopy hits. They're working the counts. That's the brand of baseball I like. I don't love the home runs. I mean, I'm fine with it. They're more exciting. But my brand is like the double steals, the reading balls in the dirt, taking the extra base, bunting. I love that stuff. The small things, the little things.
The little things.
That's how much I love the game.
He loves the game.
Gotta love the game to be the correspondent.
So if you want to be the MLB correspondent, which I'm okay with,
okay,
what are you providing to the program?
Anytime you guys have a question. I was a locker room guy, so I live in the brains of baseball players.
Slow down. Hold on. Okay. You can't just throw that out there and act like I'm not going to ask questions. You were a locker room guy.
Yeah.
So you were a little like...
I was good on the mental side. I could help people out with their mental game, talk to my teammates. I understand how the game works, what people may be going through.
If somebody's got the yips, you're going to talk them out of it?
It's hard to talk somebody out of the yips, but...
If I've got the hosting yips, you going to be able to coach me back out of them?
I did some research.
If I'm saying too much, or I can't keep a train of thought, or I can't finish a sentence.
I mean, that happens every show, though.
That also doesn't have anything to do with baseball. I'm applying to be the baseball correspondent.
Yeah, but you're applying to be the correspondent for this show.
Yeah.
Which means you would be working on this show.
Yeah. So why would I have to help you with your hosting?
You're a locker room guy.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah.
You would be in the hypothetical... Mr. Irrelevant Locker Room.
Yeah. I'd give you some support. Lift you up. That's what a locker room guy does.
Okay, if you're the MLB correspondent.
They're there for the betterment of the team.
If you're an MLB correspondent, Will, what are you corresponding with today, Friday, April 4th, 2025? Today is Friday. The MLB season started. We're about a week and a half in. Brewers have won 3 in a row. If you want to be the MLB correspondent, here's your tryout, pal. What do you got for us?
All right, let's break down the AL Central a little bit.
The AL Central?
Or the NL Central, sorry.
He got the division wrong already.
Hey, they're both the Central, okay?
He got the music for you.
That's not nice.
That's how rough it is.
Is my tryout over?
You can't get the division wrong.
No, hold on. He might have the yips. He's a little nervous. He's trying out. Let's try again. Will Summers, our MLB correspondent. We go to the MLB desk of Mr. Irrelevant.
A lot of concern recently about the Brewers pitching, right? We have 7 out of their 13 mainstays in the rotation and in the bullpen out right now. 7 out of 13. That's a significant amount, right? Usually you have 5-6 guys in your rotation. A lot of them are on the 15-day DL coming back. Aaron Ashby, Savale just went out. Quintana's in the minors. And now you have Nestor Cortez, who put on a great performance last night and solidified himself, obviously very early in the season, but... Gives them a look at a mainstay in that rotation. And while people are saying right now they only have 4 guys, the starters are undecided for some games. Once you get those guys back, you have a solid 7 guys that are interchangeable at that too and can also be middle relievers that give you 4 or 5 good innings out of the bullpen. The concern about the Brewers' depth of pitching, there shouldn't be one. The Brewers are going to be fine. They have pitching. And they're going to get guys back. In their bullpen, they got Pyomps coming out. Craig Yoho. I'm not concerned about the Brewers pitching. I think this is just the start of them turning it around. It's going to be a tough race with them and the Cubs in the NL Central is my final take. With your MLB update, I'm Will Summers.
All right, not bad. Not bad. Hunter, you're the producer of the show. You've got the decision-making power. What'd you think?
For the first time, I'm going to give it a good C+.
Okay, that's not great.
No, but I think there's some coaching that we could do for Will here. We can get some better energy out of that. I think we could start doing an MLB update with Will on the show. I think this could be something that we do once a week.
All right, here's the thing, though. I'm going to have a couple rules.
Okay.
I'm open to the idea. Do you own a shirt and tie?
I own a shirt. I could buy a tie.
I own a lot of ties. I could bring you a tie.
I have a bunch of ties. Same shirt every day, but a different tie.
I'll wear a suit, or the best thing that I have to a suit.
Okay. I just don't have the pants. The good news is our lower halves are not on camera.
Yes.
So you can BS that part.
Okay.
I want you in a tie next week.
All right.
Next Friday.
Just a tie, over my sweatshirt.
And you're going to be our MLB correspondent. Now, here's how we're going to do this next week. You're going to come in the studio. Joshy's going to be sitting in his normal spot to my right. You're left on the video stream, typically.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to stand over Josh's shoulder in a shirt and tie, and I want you to deliver your update. Then after you're done delivering your update, you're going to walk your happy ass back there, and we're going to grade it.
I can't wait.
Okay?
Can't wait.
And if Joshy says you passed the test, we will let you be the MLB correspondent on the show going forward the rest of the season.
Love it.
That work?
Love it. It's going to be a good week, too. Reds and Rockies.
He knows his stuff.
It's going to be good.
Yeah.
I'm going to have good news.
Hey, people chime in on YouTube, Will. They like you. They like
That's
what you
good.
Did there.
I'm going to have good news for them next week. I'm going to have some good takes.
All right. Good takes
I'm
are
excited.
Good. We like good takes Perfect. On the show.
You won't regret this.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah.
Don't lie to me. Don't lie to me. This is I feel happy for Will because this feels to me like Will's big first break.
Yeah.
It's his first real breakthrough in the industry.
I'm going to put it in my Twitter bio.
MLB correspondent, Mr. Relevant.
MLB correspondent.
Okay.
Can we just, I think we
Reporter.
Just go MLB guy.
No, I like correspondent.
Okay.
Reporter.
You're not, okay, stop saying you're a reporter.
I'm just reaching for it. I'm sorry. I got to take what I can get.
Well, you got to break some news first to be a reporter.
Are we getting you out to the ballpark at all this season?
Yeah. I'm supposed to go to some games soon, so.
Okay.
We'll have some boots on the ground.
Here's the thing I want, though. I want you recording a correspondent update from the park.
Okay. I like that because I can't make every Mr. Irrelevant show because I still have class, so.
Not for
Skip
long.
Class.
Yeah.
Not for
I'll
long.
I'll drop out. Maybe.
That'd make your mom proud.
Sorry, Mom. I'm actually the new MLB correspondent on Mr. Irrelevant. I can't finish college.
I'll give you a paycheck.
All right. I like where this is going.
You don't have the ability to give him a paycheck unless it's coming out of your check.
That's what I'm saying. It's coming out of my bank account. I'll pay him myself. If you drop out of college, I'll pay you.
I don't know if this is worth it.
How much college do you even have left? 4 weeks?
May 1st, so less than a month, like 3 weeks.
Actually, I take it back. You should probably see this through.
I'm so close.
You should probably see this through.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know how much money it would take. A lot more than you have, probably.
Okay, hold on.
Not probably, hold definitely.
On. Wait a minute. What's your price?
I'm not negotiating dropping out of school. I can't. I'm not doing that, okay? I'm just going to end it right there. I can't do it. I can't.
You don't have to say yes. I want to hear what the price point would be. Let me throw a number at you.
There's no number.
Let me throw a number at you.
Yes, there is. Everyone has a price.
Everybody has a price. Let me throw a number at you. Tell me yes or no. $10,000.
No.
$25,000.
No.
$100,000.
Probably. Yeah. That's my price.
Okay. $100,000. We bet. I don't know if I want to start a GoFundMe or if I want you to see this through.
Definitely let me see it through. I'll probably regret that.
You probably will. What's going to leave you better off for your future? A college degree or $100,000 check?
Degree. Long-term degree.
Well, in
hopefully not.
Hold on a minute. Hunter, do I faintly hear people screaming behind you?
I heard that out of my headset, too, and I wasn't sure if that was you guys or me.
I think it was behind me in the hallway.
Oh, okay. It's here.
Something's going on out there.
Okay.
Hopefully
nobody bursts through that door. All right, go ahead, Hunter.
No,
last thing on this.
Will, do you go... So you're finishing up at Concordia, you said?
Yeah.
Like, how much debt are you going to be dealing with?
Because I'm not putting that out there. How much?
Yeah, don't put that out there.
But I'm just saying, like, I don't know if 100K is going to cover that. My sister went to a private school, so you might have to up that price.
Well, I'm just going to get the degree.
I'm just going to get the degree. Just see it through. Just see it through. All right, it was worth talking about. All right. Let's stick in the NBA, even though we really didn't stay in the NBA at all. We went to the MLB for a while there. I don't know what happened there. Will took over the show. Good for you, Will. How about Giannis last night? An incredible effort and a win over the G League 76ers. 35 points, 20 assists, which was his career high, 17 rebounds. It is the first 35-20-15 game of that order. 20 assists, 15 rebounds. Jokic has done it the other way around a few times. Here's a story for you guys. So I was at the bar last night watching this game. Went to the bar because... Well, number one, it was Thursday. But number two, it was the only place where I could simultaneously watch the Brewers game and the Bucks game. So I was sitting at the bar, and I really wanted to watch the Bucks game last night because I felt something. I was talking with a buddy of mine, And I said, we were discussing early going in the Bucks game, who's the best player in the world right now? And I said, and he had said, you know, I recently changed my opinion. I was stuck on the Giannis train for a long time. I think it's Jokic. And I said, yeah, I agree, it's Jokic. And I made this comment, which was unbelievable. I made two comments at that point. I said, number one, no way the Bucks lose tonight. And then that is right before the Sixers went on an 11-0 run. And I also made the comment, I think Jokic could go out and get 30, 20, and 10 every single night if he tried hard enough. If he was playing the Sixers team the Bucks played last night, I think Jokic would average 30, 20, and 10. I just don't know if Giannis has that. That's what I said last night. And then Giannis goes on to have a 35-20-17 game. And we are sitting there laughing our behinds off. Because not only did I say, no way the Bucks lose this game, and then the Sixers immediately, as soon as I said that, went on an 11-0 run. I made that comment about Jokic and Giannis earlier in the game, and he went on to have the night he had, which was one of the most horrific games and most fun-to-watch games of his career. And it is just another opportunity to remind you in Wisconsin and you Bucks fans how much of a thrill it is to have a generational superstar to watch night in and night out like it is with Giannis. And for Bucks fans that are my age and older, you know there was a long period of time that the Bucks were one of the worst products in the NBA. I mean, let's remember. 12, 13, 14 years ago, there were serious, serious, serious discussions of the Bucks leaving Milwaukee. And then Giannis came to town, and he hoisted a Larry O'Brien trophy, and he hoisted multiple MVPs, and he re-engaged a fan base, and he reinvigorated the city, re-energized the city when it came to Bucks basketball. And he reminded people that this is a basketball city. It's a baseball city, too, but it's a basketball city just as much. And it can be a basketball city just as much. So don't lose sight because, I mean, I feel like we do that sometimes as Packers fans. If you're a Wisconsin sports fan like I am, right? We did that sometimes with Rodgers, right? We just came to grow to the point where we just expected brilliance at quarterback. And the beginning of the Jordan Love era, I think we were reminded, whoa, we took that for granted. And then Jordan Love went on, was the best quarterback in football for the second half of his first season as a starter, but that's neither here nor there. I think we lose sight of how amazing it is to have generational talents playing in our backyard. And don't lose sight of that with Giannis. Because this Bucks season might feel lost, and I know the Shams Charania report from earlier in the week on the McAfee show saying Dame could be back for the playoffs, and a healthy Dame and a healthy Giannis, they've got a puncher's chance, man. I'm not counting them out if everybody's healthy. But when it comes to Giannis Antetokounmpo, don't lose sight of how brilliant he is and how lucky we are to have a guy like that. He has adopted this place. He has called it home. And he does stuff like he did last night. 35 points, 20 assists, 17 rebounds. That's unheard of. I mean, that might be more impressive than Wilt Chamberlain. I'm not kidding when I say that. Wilt Chamberlain scoring 100 points a basketball game, by all means, is terribly impressive, albeit a different era. 35, 20, and 17? That is ridiculous. And that might be an understatement. So well done to Giannis. Nice win by the Bucks, despite they were playing the Sixers' backups. It's a good basketball game last night. And Giannis just went bonkers. Absolutely bananas. Seth on the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube chat. People were correctly questioning the Bucks being in Milwaukee when you had to essentially hit the lottery by getting a guy like Giannis. The Bucks are very fortunate. They are. And we are too. We're fortunate to watch this and have a title that we get to reflect on back in 2021. That was an incredible summer. It was an incredible run by that team. We're lucky. And I just think in sports, oftentimes we're so, we want to win now. We want to win now. We want to win now. You know, we do the Packers commentary all the time. Well, they haven't been to a Super Bowl in 15 years, despite having amazing quarterback play. Yeah, you're right. But don't forget how good that 2010 year was when they were the underdog and nobody expected them to go on the title run. And with the Bucks, don't lose sight. I mean, you've got one of the best players of all time playing here up the street at Fiserv Forum. Incredible. Go ahead, Hunter.
You know, the line of like the Bucks being lucky, like, it's kind of what's defined this franchise. Because, like, they got Kareem, or at the time Lou Alcindor, from a coin toss. They won the tie that got one of the greatest players of all time to Milwaukee in the first place. So, like, this is just kind of what it is. Like, the Bucks got really lucky that no one else saw anything in Giannis and that he was there for them to be able to draft. Like, this is just what Milwaukee apparently is as a franchise. It's just, you're going to get lucky, and you're going to get two of the greatest players to literally ever play the game of basketball ever. And, I mean, I'm fine with it. I've kind of come to grips with, like, you know what? This might be the one title I get in my life from the Bucks, and that is what it is, and I loved it, and I enjoyed it, and I'm just kind of like, whatever else happens, it's house money, and I'm just going to deal with it as a fan. Because yeah. I got that title. I never thought I was going to get that as a kid. Even watching, like, Michael Redd and Sam Cassell and Ray Allen, like, any of those eras of the Bucks, like, I didn't think they were actually going to win a title. Maybe 2000 they could have, but, like, I don't think they were beating the Lakers. So it's like, yeah, this is just, we're an incredibly lucky fan base, and the franchise has just been lucky, and I'm just going to deal with it and be fine with it.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way, right? Everything else is house money. Now, I mentioned, right, if Dame's back and he's healthy and he's full go come the postseason, watch out, man. Like, that's a team that can go on a run. Now, it's going to be tough to compete with the Cavs. Like, they are a really good team, and we saw how they beat up on the Bucks during the regular season. And obviously the Celtics, still a very good basketball team. But the Bucks are right, no matter what seed they end up with, they are still right there in the mix, in my opinion, if they've got both of those guys. And if Giannis is playing like he's been playing recently, I mean, he's had a nice stretch here. 35-20-17, though. You're not replicating that, maybe ever, man. That is an unbelievable game. So good for him. All right, let's wrap up the show as we always do. You learn something new every day. We learn something new today. It's time now for What We Learned. I've got a little game aspect in my What We Learned. You guys get to play a game. You ready? So it was announced today. It was announced today that Cooper Flagg of Duke has won the AP National Player of the Year, as expected. Unbelievable season for him. As a freshman at Duke, he's going to go, obviously, number one in the NBA draft in a couple of months. He is just a ridiculous basketball player. And to watch his growth throughout the season has been an absolute blast. I've watched a lot of Duke basketball this year, being with the local tie with Con Knipple, who's also had a phenomenal freshman season and will go top 10, be a lottery pick in the NBA draft as well, from Wisconsin Lutheran High School. Cooper Flagg became only the fourth player in NCAA men's basketball history to win the National Player of the Year. I would like you guys to team up. Try to name the other three. It's all happened in the 21st century. Three freshmen have won National Player of the Year, not named Cooper Flagg. Can we knock them out? Three of them.
Anthony Davis.
That is correct. 2012.
Not Zion, right? Zion?
Zion Williamson, 2019. Now, the one you are missing is the oldest one.
Okay, so you said 21st century.
Yep, all 21st century.
Okay.
And I will give you this. All players either went number one or number two in the NBA draft. Zion Williamson went 2019, was the number one overall pick. Anthony Davis, 2012, was the number one overall pick. So your hint is this person went number two in his draft, but was a freshman to win National Player of the Year.
Did Kevin Durant do it?
Got it, baby! Yeah. Nicely done! 2007 at Texas. Kevin Durant, the first ever freshman to win the National Player of the Year. Anthony Davis was the second. Zion Williamson was the third. Now Cooper Flagg, the fourth. Kind of a fun little stat there. I didn't realize only four freshmen have done it, despite how many freshmen have been dominant and gone on to have great NBA careers. Only four have ever done it.
Is Cooper Flagg already, like, that Anthony Davis run? I mean, he averaged almost five blocks a game.
Yeah.
Like, if Cooper Flagg wins the national title here, like, it's for greatest, like, one-and-done seasons. It's probably Anthony Davis and Cooper Flagg, and then, like, Carmelo Anthony's third, right?
Was Melo one and done?
Yes.
He was? Okay.
Yep.
I was surprised he didn't win it.
Yeah, I need to look that up, because, like, that was the 03 season. That was D-Wade was there. I don't remember who won that, because, like, that's wild that, like, those two were having great seasons.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, Flagg's been that good. I don't. It's not like he's the. I'm not knocking his scoring ability. Don't get me wrong, but like in terms of points per game, it's not like he's super high up there. Averages about 19 points a game, but he just does it all, right? 7.5 rebounds, 4.5 assists, over a block, over a steal, per game.
You are never going to get who won the 2003 Player of the Year.
I'm not. So you're just going to tell me.
TJ Ford.
Wow. Interesting. Joakim Noah. Not a bad guess. I think that's a little before his time, though.
Yeah.
I thought he won the Natty at Florida that year.
Yeah, later
than that. 03.
No, 07, 08.
Yeah, that was 07, 08.
Oh, okay.
You youths. Come on.
You were only, what, a baby when TJ Ford won the National Player of the Year?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was in middle school, and that's when I fell in love with Marquette, was watching.
I thought he was going to say something totally different than with Marquette. That's when I fell in love. I had to send that.
Yes, that's when I fell in love. No.
Hunter, what grade did you have your first girlfriend? And I used quote-unquote girlfriend, not serious girlfriend.
But. It was probably, I think, like 7th grade.
Okay, 7th grade. Will, what about you? Yeah.
Around that same time in middle school, I think.
All right, so I'm just a dog is what you're saying. 4th grade. We went on summer vacation. I thought we were still together, and she informed me in September we weren't. So, there you go. And then we got back together. It's a real story.
Great.
So you also learned that today. You guys got anything, or should I end the show?
No, I mean, I got lucky by putting Cooper Flagg on there. I was going to talk about him winning Player of the Year, so that worked out really well for me.
All right, guys. Good job today. Hey, Will. Keep practicing your baseball knowledge, all right?
I'm getting ready already.
All right, brother. Good stuff. That will do it for us today. We're back with you Monday beginning at 12:30 Central, ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Madison on YouTube. We will talk to you then. Thanks to Will. Thanks to Hunter. I'm Alex Stroff. We'll talk to you then. Have a great weekend. Peace.